So, like we said, today is the last in this series as we have been exploring the unseen yet commonplace experiences that all of us have that contain a potential or contain the potential to cause significant damage to our lives if we just leave them ignored and we don't pay attention to them. We've encountered in the series the silent killers of shame, grief, bitterness, self-worth, and last week we talked about compromise. What we've been doing in the series is we've been pulling back the curtain to discuss and deal with these issues in very biblical ways so that our lives can thrive. Now, the final silent killer is something I believe is a pervasive problem, especially here in America, especially in our society, because we pride ourselves on this one. This is often the very first question you ask someone when you haven't seen them for a little bit, right? Or it is at least their response to, how are you, okay? For many, this is like a badge of honor to be proudly worn. And as deadly as this issue is, almost every single one of us has welcomed it with open arms. Today, we are talking about the pace of our lives. We're talking about busyness. We're talking about hurry. Now, this is not new with modern society, okay? Humanity has been dealing with an increasing pace of life for generations, but that said, since about the Industrial Revolution, the pace of life has gotten exponentially faster month after month, season after season, and year after year, to the point where the treadmill is moving so fast, it's hard to get off the treadmill. And if you do manage to get off the treadmill, it's hard to get back on it, okay? Because the reality is, all of us experience this, there is a pile of work that needs doing, amen? All of us have that. The notifications and the emails will not stop. You know that even if your phone is on do not disturb, you know the notifications are still hitting it, right? You're just kind of have this moment of like, man, when I open this thing up, when church is over, because you've all got your do not disturb on right now. I know that, okay? So you know as soon as you pop that thing off, man, you're going to have like 18 notifications on there. And here's the thing. Almost all of them feel like they require our immediate attention. They require our immediate focus. We've got 8 meetings on our schedule today that could have been emails. And that is before you even get to work. That's just family stuff. That's just home stuff. Now, Jesus didn't have a smartphone, okay? I know that's not news to you. But if he did, he probably would have had an iPhone, okay? So I'm just saying. So all you Android users are like, rah, riot. No, it's okay. Jesus loves you too. Jesus didn't use Zoom, okay? Thank the Lord he did not use Zoom, but that does not mean he cannot relate to a busy, chaotic, demanding schedule that leaves you feeling completely drained. I want you to think about Jesus' life and ministry take off the rose-colored glasses for just a moment, because it was not sitting around a campfire doing nothing and going fishing every day. Jesus had a full slate of demands that are incredible when you actually think about it. His purpose in coming was to spread the news of the kingdom of God in Israel and raise up a network of people who would then take that message after he had ascended to heaven, would take that message to the entire known world. Jesus had come to minister to the sick and minister to the hurting across vast distances. He came to fulfill 300 some prophecies concerning his life and his ministry, and he came to be the perfect sacrifice for sin, and he had 3.5 years in which to do it. That's all he had. 3.5 years was all he had to accomplish all of that. So that means this: he had a full understanding of what it is to have a full schedule, looming deadlines, and needing to keep a fast pace in life to get it all done. This is where we find Jesus and his disciples in Mark chapter 6. So if you have your Bible with you today, go ahead and open it up to Mark chapter 6. This is one of my favorite gospels because it's like the action gospel. This is one where all of the suddenlies happen. Mark is like an action adventure writer. So Mark chapter 6, verse number 30 is where we're picking up at. And it says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. And then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. And he said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Have you ever been that busy before? Right? I mean, where like you finish one task and there's another one that urgently and immediately requires your attention, and it just kind of repeats, and before you know it, you're at the end of the day, you haven't had time to sit down, much less actually put any food in your mouth, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, what happened to this day? Okay, this is precisely the situation Jesus and his disciples are in. They have returned from a wildly successful ministry tour where people had been healed and demons had been cast out and the kingdom had been preached, and they are exhausted from a feverish pace. And Jesus knew, hey, guys, we all need some rest, okay? But the people just kept coming. They just kept showing up. There was no place for them to rest. There was no time for them to rest and slow down and just catch their breath. Now, that kind of pace was unsustainable for them, and it's unsustainable for us. And so Jesus insists, hey, we need to get away to rest. Verse number 32. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. They hop on the Princess of the Seas. They're going out to watch comedians and eat at buffets and go swimming in exotic locales, right? And like, you know, grow into their cruise moo-moos. I don't know, like, is that a thing? But no, they're on a fishing boat, okay? They're not on a cruise. But this is an opportunity for them to break away from the chaos and busyness of life. Now, if you continue reading the passage, you discover their vacation never got off the ground. Okay, because people followed them, they knew where they were headed, and so they showed up ahead of time, and they got there before them, and then Jesus sees the crowds, and he's like, I cannot, Scripture even says that he looks on them with compassion, like sheep without a shepherd, and so he's like, guys, I'm here for a purpose, and he then performs the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, right? Now, I point out this instance in Mark 6, because it follows a pattern that we see Jesus insist on. And it seems like a very odd pattern where he insists on slowing down the pace of life despite the numerous demands on his time to rest and to be restored. It is one of the most commonly observed habits of Jesus's. He would step away to be alone, to be with his Father, and we see Jesus frequently taking naps and stopping to rest. So if you want to be more like Jesus, take more naps. Praise God, right? Yeah, y'all are like, I'm going to apply that one this afternoon. Hallelujah, right? Now, I want you to understand, Jesus was not lazy. Jesus was intentional. He had a mission that was set before him, and he knew there's a set number of days that I have in order to accomplish this mission. And so he lived every single day with his eyes set on this ultimate goal. It was the driving force of his life. And he managed the demands of life, the demands of ministry, the demands of the deadlines on his time, not through supernatural cheat codes, but through living intentionally. And if you want to kind of understand what this message is getting at today, this is the heart of it right here. Most of us don't live intentionally. We live accidentally. I'm going to say that again. Most of us don't live intentionally. We live accidentally. What do I mean? We let life happen to us instead of being purposeful in how we utilize the most precious and limited resource that there is, our time. You can make more money. You will never make more time. Like Jesus, every single one of us has a set number of days in which to accomplish the plans that God has for our lives. Job chapter 14, verse 5 is a good, maybe a life verse for us to remember and recognize, as unpleasant as it might be, where it says, you have decided, God, the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. There is a ticking clock, folks. It's a countdown clock on each one of our lives. Now, that's not meant to depress you. That's meant to snap us into reality. So how does knowing that encourage us to think about how our fast pace is silently killing us? I mean, doesn't that mean, well, I've got to, like, the countdown clock is going, Nick. I mean, doesn't that mean I just need to move faster and do more in a day? No, actually, it doesn't mean that at all. Being intentional requires doing less, but what we're doing are the right things. We think that commonly our attitude is that, well, I think that adding more to my commitments, that's the answer to getting more done, when the exact opposite is what's actually true. The solution to an unsustainable pace is not having more time. It's to slow down and simplify our lives around what really matters. So how do I do that? Well, I want us to see two core truths that around Jesus' pace of life, that he built his pace around, that then he invites us to build our lives around. And they are simply this. I'm going to say them both and I'm going to go back through them. The first one is regular rest and right priorities is the second one. Regular rest and right priorities. You are designed to require regular rest at regular intervals. In fact, God set those intervals very early on. Once per day, we are designed to shut down for an extended period of time, and we call it sleep. I love that word. I love sleep. Once per week, we're designed to shut down our regular vocation for an entire day, and we call it Sabbath. Frequently within each year, we are designed with a need for an extended break from regular life. We call it vacation. Now, the bike. Why is the bike here? Well, this is kind of going to serve as an illustration for us. My good buddy Matt's going to come help me out with this. Matt, come on up. Everybody give Matt a hand. So I promise you it can hold you because it can hold me. So this is my bike from home. So there you go. Have a seat, man. We can adjust it if you need it, like, to more leg room or whatever. You good there? Okay. All right. Now, Matt, I want you to pedal at, like, capacity. Okay? So give me your speed. Give me the best speed you can give and just go. All right? Now, Matt is a Marine. Okay? So he knows what it is to need physical fitness. If we need to adjust more, we can to make it manageable, okay? You good? All right. So this is the pace that Matt's going to try to keep. And I want you to imagine the pace he is keeping as the pace that most of us try to keep day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out. And Matt's like, would you hurry it up, okay? This is just normal stuff, right? You got to go to work. You got to go to the grocery store. You got to carry the groceries in from the grocery store. You got to, you know, get the kids to practice. You've got, you know, to connect with your spouse. You've got to take care of the lawn. You got to do all of the usual things, paying the bills, just doing the stuff, right? And you got to keep that pace up. But here's the reality. Most of us run at the max capacity we can run at. Like, we don't leave any room in the schedule. We just got to go, 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 go. If there is free time, that means I didn't schedule it right, okay? And then what happens is, what we got to recognize is in that, the wise thing to do would be to not go at 100%. It would be to go at like 80%, right? Now, you don't go at 80%. You go at 100, okay? Because this is what, everybody give it up for him, man. He's working hard, right? He's working hard. But here's the problem. What happens when something that is out of the ordinary happens? Right? When things that you have all the normal stuff, but all of a sudden, the car breaks down. And now I got to figure out, oh great, now how do I get to work? How do I get the kids to practice? How do I get home? And I've got this errand to run. And now I'm down to like one car or maybe even no car. What do I? Oh no, wait a minute, the doctor called. Now I have an additional, I've got something else going on. I went the right way on that, didn't I?
Nope.
No, I didn't. I made it easier on you. Okay, I got to turn it toward. There we go. Okay, I'm going to make it harder. Okay, I get a diagnosis from the doctor saying, hey, you know what? You have a chronic illness of some kind. Now you got to get online and figure this out. We got more doctor's appointments to go to. You got tests you got to run, all this kind of stuff. Oh, no. Tax time shows up. Tax time. And now I got to file my taxes. And oh, no, it didn't turn out. The number isn't in my favor. I have a bill on top of it. Oh, no. The kids are getting bad grades at school. There's problems going on at home. My wife and I aren't getting along and we're struggling. The dog is sick. You get what I'm saying here? And now what was 100% of his capacity is now well over 100% of his capacity. And you know what? Here's the thing. There's no break coming. Why? Because Matt has already compromised on his sleep. He's already said, hey, you know what? I can get more done if I only sleep for 6 hours. And oh, you know what? I can't take vacation this year because we haven't saved up enough, and you know what? It just makes more sense for us just to stay home and save the money that it would cost to do that. And I certainly can't take a Sabbath because if I take a day off, it's all going to fall apart. And look at what's happening. Now, he gets the encouragement of hearing you say that, but how many of you get the encouragement of hearing that in life? We don't, do we? No, we just got to go. We just got to, come on, man, don't, come on, come on. And what happens at some point, I know he's a Marine, but at some point he'll reach his breaking point, won't he? And then what happens? He's just going to stop at some point. When's that going to be? I don't know. We're going to find out. You done? Are you about there? You can be done. You can be done. All right, everybody give it up for him. Man, I appreciate you doing that, bro. Yeah. Matt, you're a rock star, buddy. Somebody get that man a water bottle. There's a reason he didn't do that one. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to get one myself. I'm good. He's going to need to take a second. It's nice and cool outside, so we'll breathe. We'll let him breathe for a minute. Again, we can maintain at that level for a little while, but it is much more difficult. And what was 100% of our capacity is now 125% of our capacity. Things that are normal parts of life become way more challenging, way more draining. Why? Because we're pushing hard, we're moving fast, we're in desperate need of a rest, but there is no rest in sight. What we need is something called margin. An author that I thoroughly enjoy reading and listening to is a man by the name of John Mark Comer. And he defines margin as the space between our load and our limits. Margin is the space between the load that we're carrying and what the limit of our load is. And we're going to break that down. See, we are unable to keep going without healthy margin. We're unable to keep going without regular intervals of rest. And I want you to understand something. That's not a human construct. That's a God construct. God set you up like that. He has designed your body to require sleep to function properly. A lack of adequate sleep has extremely negative consequences for every single system in your body. And I want you to understand this. It doesn't take years of bad sleep for your body to begin to experience the negative fallout of that. Honestly, it can take as little as one night of bad sleep. But when it becomes chronic, those consequences become exponentially worse. It affects everything from your immune system to your mental health to your heart, even to your weight. All of it requires adequate sleep to function and regulate properly. God also designed us to break from work. That sleep one, can we all agree that sleep one, we're all in favor of that one? How many of you like a good night's sleep, right? Man, I guard my bedtime, right? Man, I go to bed, I go to sleep. I'm not, you know, watching TV. I'm not on my phone. Like, I have a routine, and I'm going to follow that routine because I know that if I don't get a good night's sleep, I'm going to be a grumpier bear than I normally am in the morning, okay? So I'm going to get adequate sleep. We will spend millions of dollars as a society to get a good night's sleep. Everything to get the right mattress, to make sure the lighting in the bedroom is right, to make sure that the temperature in the room is right, to make sure we have the right thread count on our sheets. I mean, we'll do everything we can to make sure that we get adequate sleep. This next one, though, this one we're not so good at. We're not so good at this one because God required us to break from work one day out of every seven, where we devote that day to connecting with God in a special way, where we spend time that day recreating and replenishing not only our body, but also our soul, our spirit, and our relationships. Now, we all love sleep, but this Sabbath thing is one we struggle with. It's almost like we can't stop working because if we do, it'll either all fall apart or the thing we're running from might actually catch up to us. Again, John Mark Comer, in a book that he wrote, I would highly encourage you to read this book. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Now, I ran across this book. My first exposure to it was by my lovely bride, who is a bookophile. Like, she loves books, okay? She loves to read books, hold books, own books, like just have books, okay? And she started to read this book, but I found it funny that she was reading it on the library Libby app, right? So you could listen to the audiobook, and she was listening to it at double speed. Do you get the irony there? The ruthless elimination of hurry, and it's at 2x speed, right? And I was kind of, she was like, you know, as I got a few chapters into it, and I was like, I don't know that I'm really getting out of this what I'm supposed to be. Like, maybe I need to slow this thing down a little bit, okay? Right? So, in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, he said this: all too often, our hurry is a sign of something else, something deeper, usually that we are running away from something. Father wounds, childhood trauma, our last name, deep insecurity or deficits of self-worth, a fear of failure, a pathological inability to accept the limitations of our humanity, or simply boredom with the mundanity of middle life. And he's right. What we're doing by not stopping to rest regularly is we are using our pace to deaden and kill the most important parts of who we are. Corey Ten Boom said this: if the devil can't make you sin, he will make you busy. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Why? Because did you know that sin and busyness have the same effect on your soul? They both cut you off from your connection to God. They both cut you off from your connection to other people. They both cut you off from your connection to even your own soul. So if he can't make you sin, he will be satisfied to make you busy. But most of us live as if, well, if I work longer, if I move faster, then I'll get more done, which will allow me to have more time to rest and enjoy that rest. But that's not how it works. It has been proven by study after study after study that there is zero correlation between hurry and productivity. Just because you move fast doesn't mean you're productive. It's been proven that once you work 50 hours in a week, that your productivity drops out to zero. I mean, it plummets. One study found no difference in productivity between workers who logged 70 hours and those who logged 55, they got the same amount of work done. I don't think it's an accident that a 50-hour work week equates to about 6 days. I don't think that's an accident. God designed you to require and benefit from regular rest. You need it. You're not weak because you need it. God said, you need it. You know what your car needs to run? Fuel. Is it weak because it needs fuel? No. The fuel is what makes it run. It's what makes it strong. Well, how many of you would say, well, my car is an absolute waste of junk because it needs fuel? This is ridiculous. It's just silly. It's a waste. Just get rid of it. It's junk. No. We would give it what it needs because it needs it to run. And it runs much better when it has it. Otherwise, it's an overgrown paperweight. Mark chapter 2, verse number 27. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Now, I want you to think about that. A day off each week is a gift from God. God says, I have a present I want to give you. I want to give you an entire day to break from your work, to connect with me, connect with people you love, and to replenish what this week has taken and to prepare you for what this week is going to require of you. It's a gift. And just like any other gift from God, Satan wants to take it away, or if he can't take it away, he wants to make it a burden to you. He also did this to the feast days in Israel. Satan managed to do this to the Sabbath when it came to the Hebrews, and he managed to do it with the feast days as well, where when it came time for Sabbath, man, you had to work and work and work, and you had to follow all these rules. You couldn't turn on a light switch. To this day in Jerusalem, when it is Sabbath day, if you are in a hotel, you will not have toilet paper in your hotel room because that's work. Yeah, wiping is work. There's a reason I'm not traveling to Israel anytime soon, okay? Like, the amount of rules is insane. All because, well, you can't work. So what's work? And then we got to have a whole bunch of rules to define what work is and what it is not. You can only walk so many steps, so that means I'm counting. Oh, one, two, three. Oh, I reached my limit. I just got to sleep here tonight. That's not rest. Those are rules. That's not replenishment. That's regulation. That's not what God's heart was. Satan did the same thing with the feast days, where they became work for God instead of rest from God. God's idea in establishing a weekly Sabbath was to bless the people of Israel, not burden them. God's purpose in giving you and I a Sabbath day, a rest day, is to bless you, not to burden you. Part of God's intent behind the 7-yearly feast that the Jews were to observe was to provide them with an extended time to connect with God, to connect with their family, to connect with their friends, and to do things that were out of the ordinary, that were fun and enjoyable and important for their souls. You know what? The same thing applies to your vacations. Whether you get away to a faraway land or you have a nearby retreat, an extended time to connect with God, to connect with family, to connect with friends, to do things out of the ordinary that are fun and enjoyable and important for your soul. Who knew that vacation is a spiritual practice? It is! Regular rest is one of the core truths Jesus built his life around. The other one is right priorities. You'll only live with purpose when you live with right priorities. We said it earlier, Jesus lived with purpose, and all he did was done with that purpose in mind. He prioritized what was eternal over what was temporal. Think back to the bike. I'm not going to bring you back up, I promise. Matt's like, no, please. What if, while Matt was, going to beat the band, doing everything he could to keep going, what if I asked him at the same time to build a Lego set? Or solve a Rubik's Cube, which I can't do even when I have full concentration. Right? Well, if I asked him to do that, in addition to keeping that pace up, you know what probably would have happened? He'd have probably chucked a Rubik's Cube at me. Okay? I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm not doing that. Why? Because he knows that's not my priority. My priority is to keep pedaling. My priority is to keep going. I need to focus on what really matters. But let me ask you, how many of us live our lives distracted? We're in a hurry. We're moving fast. But is it in the right direction? Is it with the right priorities? We're scrambling around, putting a whole bunch of effort out, but in the end, will it really be worth it? Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." I love what the Passion Translation says it. "All these less important things will be given to you abundantly." What are these less important things? All the things that we run about worrying about that really don't matter. And does he say, you know, hey, all of this stuff, I mean, I'm gonna just make your life easy? No. He doesn't say that. He never once says that. What'll happen is all of these less important things will suddenly become, in our eyes, what they really are, less important. It really doesn't matter. The deadliest part about our pace is what another author by the name of John Ortberg says. He says, "For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It's that we'll become so distracted and so rushed and so preoccupied that we'll settle for a mediocre version of it. We'll just skim our lives instead of actually living them. We'll settle. We'll be satisfied with just a mediocre version of a walk with God because I'm so busy. I've got this to do and I've got that to do, and I can't balance all of this and do this. I can't have my time with God and stay, you know, on top of all the tasks that I need to do." And then we wonder, why is my spirit dead within me? Hear me, your spirit, my spirit, it withers under a pace like the one so many of us live. A man by the name of Walter Adams, which I will be shocked if any of you know of him. Walter Adams was kind of the spiritual director, spiritual life coach for a man that you probably do know, C.S. Lewis. Okay? He discipled him. He mentored him. He coached him in his walk with Jesus. And he said this to him. He said, "To walk with Jesus is to walk a slow, unhurried pace. Hurry is the death of prayer and only impedes and spoils our work, never advances it." Jesus invites you to a different pace. You know the pace that Jesus invites you to live on? You know the pace that he says, hey, here is the pace at which we're going to keep if you're a follower of Jesus. In Matthew 11, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Notice he doesn't say, like, you know, just lounge about on the beach. He says, walk with me and what? Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Believer, I want you to think about it. I want you to really think about this. The withering of our soul is not an inevitable future. You don't have to settle for that. That is not just, hey, this is just how it is. You know, I'm just running a million miles an hour, getting nowhere fast, but this is just the destiny that God has for me. No. That is not what God has for you. But hear me, you have a choice to make. In fact, a series of choices to make, to deliberately and regularly rest and to also live with right priorities. Now, those are challenging choices, and I will admit, they're costly choices. One rule that I live by in my life is that for me to say yes to one thing, I have to say no to something else. I will not say yes to something unless I first say no to something else. So if I tell you no, don't take offense. What I'm doing is I'm saying, you know what? It's not that you're not important, it's that there are things that are more important. And I have a limited number of days, and you have a limited number of days in which to accomplish the priorities that God has set for us. And each one of us has a different set of priorities. Are you called to pastor the Family Worship Center here in Smithville? Are you? Okay, I just want to make sure. Like, I want to check and see. If so, I just want to talk to you after church, man. We'll connect. Like, we'll start coaching and mentoring. We'll set this up. Man, this isn't my church. This is God's church, okay? So that means this. The priority that God has put on me to lead this church well is different than the priority that God has put on you. And you have priorities that God has said, hey, you know what? This is what you are supposed to do. This is the role you are supposed to fill, whether that is a parent to your kids, to raise them well, a spouse that loves Jesus with all their heart and loves their spouse as they love themselves, a worker that knows how to apply themselves and give it everything they've got at their work and knows that when they punch out, they're done. But that's going to require you and I to use this little word, no. And that's really hard to do. And it's not free to say no. It's going to cost you to say no. Saying no to more work means less pay, doesn't it? It does. But you know what? Saying no to your family means less relationship. Why should you rest regularly? Why should you choose to live with right priorities and make the challenging choices? To say no to certain things so that you can say yes to the important things. Here's why. So that you won't wake up on your deathbed with a nagging sense that somehow in all the hurry, all the busyness, all the frenetic activity, you miss the most important things. You will know, I lived intentionally. I didn't live accidentally. And so my question to you today is this. Do you find yourself in a position where you are struggling to prioritize rest in your life? Do you find yourself in a position where you're like, you know what? I am sacrificing regular rest, whether it is sleep so that I can work longer, whether it is a day off so that I can get more done, or it's a vacation because, hey, you know what? I just can't. Are you struggling to prioritize regular rest in your life? Would you just take a moment and bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second? Don't go to sleep. An apt application of the message, I get it, but don't go to sleep right now, okay? You can do that later. I really want you just to take a second and breathe. I know this sounds weird, but I want you to do this for just a second. I want you to take a really deep breath in and just hold it for a second. And let it out. Do that again. Let it out. Maybe for you, that's the first deep breath you can remember taking in so long. You've been running and going and pushing and moving at a pace that you recognize is unsustainable. That doesn't mean you can't have a fast pace. It just means you can't keep that fast pace forever. Seasons where, yes, it's chaotic and it's busy. But there needs to be a season after that where there is rest. You should work hard all 6 days. Give it everything you've got. And then on that seventh day, rest. But way too many of us, we don't stop at all. We just go, go, go. God tells you that's not how He made you to function. And I wonder how many in this place today are realizing and experiencing the burnout, the fallout of that just in life. And you're like, I'm tired, like all the time. I can't remember the last day off I had. I can't remember the last time I slept well. And it's not because of my mattress. I can't remember the last time that I deliberately chose to break away from the noise to just replenish my soul? Are you struggling? Are you running fast and getting nowhere worthwhile? I don't want you to sense this is any kind of condemnation. It's not. This is God, through His Word, calling you, saying, you need rest. How many of you would admit, Pastor Nick, I am not prioritizing regular intervals of rest? If that's where you're at, would you simply raise your hand up just an acknowledgement? Thank you. A lot all over the room. It's not uncommon. It's not at all outside of what I expected. And there is no condemnation in that. But if you recognize that, that means you're not exempt from what God is telling you. He's saying, you need rest. Maybe you recognize that your priorities are what's out of whack. And that's keeping you from being able to find regular intervals of rest because your priorities are all wrong. Or maybe they're just slightly wrong. But they're what's preventing you from being able to rest because, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do this and I've got to do this. And the whole time God is saying, that's not what I have for you. How many of you would admit, or, and this is a hard question to recognize right now probably, but I really want to give the opportunity, if you recognize that your priorities are what's out of whack and that's what's keeping you from being able to rest, would you simply raise your hand up right where you're at today? Many, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It requires a choice. And it can be a hard one. Some things that we got to let go of so that we can embrace what God has for us. Before we pray, I want to really quickly talk to those of you who may not be a follower of Jesus at this point in time. I want you to hear me. God offers you rest. Rest from the most intense and heaviest burden that anybody has ever carried, and that is the burden of their own sin. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has fallen short. None of us are perfect. See, Jesus came to declare freedom to the captives, so that you could be forgiven of your sin, so that you could be washed clean and made a new creation. But again, a choice is in your hands. And that choice is this: are you going to be the leader of your life, or are you going to let Him lead? Are you going to be the one sitting on the throne of your life, or are you going to invite Jesus, the God of the universe, to be the one that sits on the throne of your life? Not only to save your soul, but to lead you. And if you would say, Pastor Nick, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. There are sin in my life, things that I need to confess to God, things that I need Him to forgive me for and cleanse me from. And today, I want to make the choice to give my life to following Jesus Christ. If that's where you're at, would you simply raise your hand up? I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you, but I do want to pray with you and connect with you today. If that's you, would you simply raise your hand up? All right. Father, I thank You for the truth that Your Word gives to us. Lord, You created us as human beings with limitations. We are not God, but we certainly try to act like it. We certainly try to live like it, as if we have no vulnerabilities, as if there is no limit upon our energy and upon our skill and upon our understanding. And in that choice, God, we just burn out. We fry ourselves. We run around distracted, living at chaotic, insane paces the whole time, not even recognizing that it's really not even worth it. You invite us, God, to live freely and lightly, not hurried and stressed out, not filled with anxiety and fear, but freely and lightly. But it requires a choice, and it's one You're not going to force on us. Either we're going to choose to trust You and rest and live according to the principles that You have laid out for us, or we're going to experience the damaging results of our choices. There's no two ways about it, and it's not in judgment. It's just simply the way that it works. So God, I ask for every single person who raised their hand today, recognizing that they're struggling to set and get regular intervals of rest, whether that is because of just an absence of mind and not realizing it, not thinking about it, not being intentional, or it's just because their priorities are out of whack. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to those things in our lives that we need to let go of, or those things that we don't even need to accept, things that we just need to flat out say no to in order to say yes to what you have for us. That requires us letting go of some things. And so God, I pray that you would help us to understand what that looks like in our situation and in our lives. And I pray, God, that you would help us to recognize that you speak this word today, not in condemnation, but in grace and mercy, offering a gift to your people, not an obligation, not a burden, but a gift. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to accept it with open arms and eager spirits as we would with any other gift. And now may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace in Jesus' name. Have an incredible week this week, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us today. God bless you guys.